All right, so as you're looking at the piles that you've sorted your stories into, just like you see the same emotions showing up, you have piles of anger, piles of shame, piles of guilt, you also start seeing some recurring themes as you sift through those facts and thoughts and emotions and gifts and lessons from your stories. Those themes form the basis of your decision making about every area of your life. Remember, how you think about one thing is how you think about everything. Your brain loves patterns and efficiency. So, what themes do you already know about yourself, and how are they affecting your quality of life? Well, I've been a coach for a couple of years now, and I've seen my share of brains, and these are the five that I see most often in conversations that I'm having. The first one that I see is the land of I should. I should call my mother more often. I should be exercising 3 times a week. I should stop eating potato chips. I should. That is driven by guilt and shame. So if you remember from our previous interactions, guilt says I did something bad. Shame says I am bad. Either way, this theme has you thinking that you've missed the mark somehow. Anytime you hear the word should, you can guarantee that you're in the middle of a story. When you live at the mercy of what you should do, emotions that make you eat appear. Because no grown person in the world likes to be coerced, convinced, or manipulated. The most common emotions connected to should stories, again, are anger, resentment, big one, guilt, and shame. Should implies that something has gone wrong because it's not what actually is. So you have your actual reality, whatever is happening, and then what should happen. So somehow your reality is flawed. Try practicing removing the word should from your vocabulary. And the way to do that, first of all, you're going to be surprised at how often you say it, but ask yourselves questions like, why? Like, why should I? Or says who? I'm grown. So who says? Or so what? Okay. I again remember feeling so empowered the first time that I was deep in a story and I was using should and telling this story so full of emotion. And my coach said to me, okay, so what? And it was the equivalent to being thumped in the forehead. I had never thought that I could question it. So like, yeah, so what? Okay, so that's the first one, I should. The second one is fear and doubt, and those show up as fear of failure and fear of success. So this puts you in a catch-22. Your stories take you to places where either one is not going to work, and you eat. So fear of failure is driven by perfectionism and people-pleasing. It shows up as procrastination. And the stories there are often about dreams that you had at one time that never materialized. So you are up close and personal with the details. Maybe you can tell me all about how you were going to start that new business, or you were going to build that model, or you were going to sew that dress. But you never made the leap of faith or taken the steps to move you closer. Because doubt makes you rethink every tiny decision, and it starts to feel safer just to self-protect by not trying at all. The flip side of that is fear of success, and that's driven by thoughts like, who do I think I am? Why do I think I can accomplish that? It practices thoughts like, I'm a fraud, and if I try for this and it's successful, everybody's going to find out that I am a fraud. Because you don't believe you deserve to thrive, you opt for behaviors that sabotage or drag you backwards to whatever your comfort level is. You see this really often in weight loss. When you lose that same 20 pounds over and over, you start to feel really good, and then you hedge your bets and you go back to what you describe as the weight that your body likes, the weight that your body's stuck at. Doubt makes you think it can never really be different, and it uses past examples of proof of why you should just stop trying. Third is less than or not enough. And that shows up as fitting in, taking the temperature of the room to see what's going to be acceptable, and extreme people-pleasing. This theme has you constantly in comparison mode with other people, and you always, always view yourself as deficient. Someone else is smarter, prettier, sexier, friendlier, more likable, more lovable, and luckier than you. The result is no one, including you, ever knows the real you, because nothing stays constant. You change. I use the word morph, as in metamorphosis. You change shapes into whatever version you think is acceptable to the people present. The emotion that results is loneliness and resentment. Because you want to fit in, you don't use your voice to have an opinion. You say yes to things that you don't truly enjoy, and then you fester anger at people for taking advantage of you. But they don't even know the real you. They know the appropriate version you've introduced to them. Fourth, unworthiness or marginalizing. Now this one goes a little deeper. This is hiding and making yourself invisible. Hiding takes less than to a whole nother dimension. You isolate yourself because who wants to hang out with you anyway? You take neutral situations and make them personal. Okay, so if you ever had somebody say to you, why do you take everything personal? You're probably caught up in a story. Simple things like a text not being returned starts to make you have thoughts like, well, they don't like me. They never answer me back. Or I'm not important enough for them to hang out with. When you do need to be in public, you hide by being silent, by dressing in dark colors so that you don't draw any attention, by never offering any inputs or opinions. You hang around the edges waiting to be invited forward. You see other people as more important and more deserving of everything, from a chair at a crowded table to a boyfriend who loves them. And the emotions here are going to be things like depression and frustration and pain and brokenness and hopelessness. And then fifth, I'll admit, this is the one I was mired in, is victim and martyr. So victim says, the whole world hates me. And martyr says, I do everything and I still get a bad result. Victims believe that they are at the mercy of whatever shows up. You live in reaction mode and you're always just one step behind. It drives behaviors like constantly explaining yourself and looking for other people to agree with you. After all, you haven't done anything to deserve the things that are happening to you, and you don't have any power to change them, and other people should see that. At least that's what your stories want you to believe is fact. The emotions that you'll experience here are resistance, anger, self-righteousness, and overwhelm. Their counterparts, martyrs, are almost always overgivers. You get your self-esteem from giving to others. You have no ability to receive and see asking for help as weakness. You're pretty rigid about the way you do things, and even when your process doesn't work, you repeat the process and then complain about getting a bad result. You're that one who takes over every event you've ever attended. You make it a success, and then gossiped about how nobody wanted to help you. Emotions here are confusion. Like, why are people pulling away from me? Why am I isolated? Exhaustion from all that overgiving. Neediness, because approval is important. And determination. If I just do it right, eventually I'll get a better result. Do you recognize yourself in any of those? Have some other themes come to your mind as we've been having this conversation? Like, oh, I know that shows up pretty often. Remember, there's no judgment in having stories. Humans are wired for story. Nothing has gone wrong. But there is power in knowing what your stories are and feeling emotions as they happen so that they don't go into that long-term storage along with the facts. Feeling the emotions also helps you identify thought patterns that aren't serving you so that you can get curious. Because when you change your thoughts, you create different emotions. When you create different emotions, you take different actions. In the next module, we're going to start to learn the skill of feeling your feelings. So those piles that you've identified here, you want to keep those notes and bring them with you. I'm so looking forward to taking this journey and hearing what your five stories are, what your five themes are, and the light bulbs that I hope are going off in your head about how life can really be different. Don't forget the worksheets attached to this module. They're designed to take these tools and move them from intellectual information in your head down into your heart so that you truly have a different outcome. You've invested in yourself. You deserve to let some of that old baggage go, no matter what your stories are telling you. I love you, beauties. I'll see you on the group phone call. Have a beautiful rest of the day.